Hello, everyone. You're listening to Pixel Pixel, where the X is silent, but our love for dying malls most definitely isn't. This is episode 115, just in time for Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone. I'm Spooky Anne, here, as always, with my lovely hubby, Spooky Marcus.
Oh, Spooky Marcus.
Yeah, this is the spooky version.
Okay.
Yeah, like Discord did that weird thing where they updated the sound effect, and I was like, why did they change it? And it turned out it was the spooky version.
True.
Or spooky versions.
Okay.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. We're here on our new couch, actually. We never talked about our new couch because it's not really something that would come up in the podcast, but, you know, reclining on our nice new couch that we bought a while back, using our new mics to record. Nobody complained, so I guess it's fine. The mics are good. We're enjoying them, at least, except for when you didn't select the right input when we were setting up earlier, and I thought it wasn't working.
Up.
Yeah. It's okay. We all mess up. Especially with technology. Anyway, happy Halloween. What's our plan? This episode's coming out on Halloween, actually, when you're listening to this. We are recording the day before Halloween. I think we have no plan.
That's right.
You have the day off from work. It's your flex day, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, flex day. So we're getting a haircut. That's the plan. Spooky Halloween haircut. And then, maybe watch a movie. We've been trying to get through some more horror movies, so we'll have that to talk about a little bit later in the episode. Not really any other spooky plans for us here. But we have other things to chat about, life news-wise. We went to an anime event last weekend? The weekend before last, I think it was. Yeah, because we went back again last weekend. Yeah, so we went to this anime event called Anime Night Market, which we have been to before. Last time was a year ago? At least a year ago. At the same venue, but the one we went to previously was in the parking lot of a mall, of a dying mall, which is what the intro of the episode was alluding to there. This is a dying mall in our area. The mall has been dying kind of for a while now, right? When you say there's not much happening there for years.
Yeah.
I mean, you've lived here longer than me, but they don't seem to be having much going on. But I guess this anime event worked out a deal with them to use their parking lot for their market. And then maybe because of how big it was getting or weather, I don't really know. I'm sure in the summer it wouldn't have been nice to be in the parking lot. Either way, they are now doing it inside. Well, they were doing it inside because we went for their last event in this mall because the mall is going to be shutting down to be, you know, demolished for other stuff. So what'd you think of the indoor anime night market in a dead mall?
I thought it was pretty good. I was surprised from how we had seen it before, which was like one of their earlier things. It was newish when we went the first time. From then to now is a huge difference. They are a pretty big event.
Yeah, it's like a mini convention, really.
Yeah, it's big. Lots of vendors. And basically most everyone there was for the event, not for the mall.
Yes. There was a closing JCPenney, which we went to the following weekend to check out. But yeah, there was not much action otherwise. But it was surprisingly busy, and I couldn't find the exact information. We figure there might have been 100 vendors, something like that.
At least.
It was, you know, two levels of a mall, and maybe, I don't know how much of the mall had vendors in it, a third at least, maybe a half.
Yeah.
But, you know, just wall-to-wall different booths, a lot of independent artists. Not so much, like, companies, you know. It wasn't like a anime expo or something. It was mostly, like, Artist Alley type stuff with a few resellers that were, you know, selling figures or selling like Pokemon cards or things like that. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I guess they've got cosplay contests, karaoke, they had some gaming machines. They're just going to be celebrating their third anniversary, I saw, coming up here in November. And they also do the event in Las Vegas. I don't know, is it like the same people or like a different branch? Like they got their Vegas branch and their California branch. I don't know. But they're doing some big 3-year anniversary shindig in Las Vegas. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited to see them expanding from what we saw last time because the first one we went to was fine, but I wouldn't have gone out of my way to keep going. After seeing it now, I'm like, oh, you know, this is really something to keep an eye on. It's quite interesting. Though, sadly, they did announce that this was their last event in the mall since the mall will be shutting down, I think, by the end of this year for the whole new project. I don't know if they're demolishing the whole thing, but they're gonna completely redo that whole area because, as we said, there's like nothing in it. It's dead. A JCPenney and some empty storefronts, along with some sort of sad, near dead businesses. But I don't know where else they'll go. Hopefully, there's something that can support them that they can afford. You know, if they're doing an event in Vegas, I'm sure they'll figure something out. Vegas can't be cheap to have events at.
True.
Yeah. We bought some things. A little bit of Silent Hill F
Yes.
merch, which was fun. I was really thrilled to find randomly an artist who I had reposted her art of, oh my gosh, I can't remember.
Fox mask.
Foss Mask Guy and the girl whose name I can't remember right now.
Hinako.
Hinako, there we go. Yeah, she did some really cute chibis of them, and then I saw her account. She does a lot of different chibi art of all the different Silent Hill characters. So I really loved it and I remembered it. And then randomly she was at this event. I had no idea she was, you know, local or local enough to be attending a SoCal anime event. So that was really fun. And then I got the keychain version of the Fox Mask chibi art. And then we got a few other odds and ends. There are a lot of great artists, you know, lots of cute stuff. Some things that, you know, you might recognize from other anime events and maybe not. So if you ever have a chance and you're in the area to check out the Anime Night Market, it's worth a look. But speaking of the dying mall, do you have any other final words? RIP.
Oh, it was just fun to walk around. When we went last weekend after the event was closed, it was just funny because there was a lot of people walking around, and I assume they were all doing the same thing, just looking at the mall to look at it, not to shop, because at this point there was barely anything open now. So it's just interesting to be in there, the nearly dead mall.
It was interesting to think about too, you know, I didn't look up when this mall was built, but probably, well, I wouldn't be surprised that some of the people wandering around like grew up around the area and have memories, you know, of like coming to this mall, you know.
Yeah, we saw that thing, remember, where they said they were singing goodbye to the
Yeah.
mall?
Yeah, they had a singing event. Yeah, so certainly people have fond memories of this mall. It's certainly of an era, I think, especially in the US, you know, mall culture is dying. When I was in Australia, there were a couple of big, very active, vibrant malls where I was. So I don't know if it's the same over there, but definitely here, there are a lot of, you know, dead storefronts and dying malls. And sadly, the mall didn't have like a ton of like that really retro mall vibe that you might like to see, but there were some fun things. Like there was a pizza place that had very colorful branding that was obviously long dead, and there was a really nice carousel that I got some video and photo of. I'm into carousel horses now. I guess my love for centaurs has morphed into that, so I'm including them in my weird horse interests now. But yeah, that was fun. Lots of people taking photos and videos. And we went to JCPenney and we got to see all of the mannequins, including the really buff mannequin that I still am not sure what that would have been for. It was basically a man's bust only, so like the pecs, abs, and like he was, you know, flexing, right?
Yeah.
So would you put like a singlet on it? Like, I don't even know.
I don't know.
It was $75. I think we both thought about buying it, and we're like, no, this is too much. But, a little wistful. I feel like we could have dressed him up for every season, Named him something. Oh, well. I have photos of that
It's
as
fine,
well.
we don't need it.
No, we don't need it. But there are a lot of fun mannequins, child-sized ones, sexy ladies, normal men. And then they're selling their fixtures and all kinds of things. It's just fun to look at. I don't think I've ever seen a closing JCPenney before. So it was a very interesting experience, and RIP. Next up, we have a little bit of news we want to talk about. Coincidentally, I guess, all Nintendo news. First of all, Pikmin 4, everyone's favorite Pikmin 4, which I thought I owned, but I actually don't. Pikmin 4 for the Nintendo Switch 1, not 2, which came out in 2023, is getting a free update. Who would have thought? It is coming this November, and they are adding my favorite mode for games that add a photo mode. So excited to take photos of Pikmin. So I have to get the game now, basically.
Yeah, basically. It's still only Switch One, though.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, come to think of it, because we're not going to be talking about the Animal Crossing news next. It's surprising they didn't announce a Switch 2 upgrade. Now I feel like maybe there was.
Maybe.
Was there already an upgrade? I'm going to look it up while you
I
talk
don't
about it
know.
some more. What else did they add?
They added, well, I don't know 100%, but they added a new mode where the enemies are not, what is it? Like they're not aggro at you.
Yeah, you can, well, you can change their aggro level basically, so they can be really fierce or not at all.
And that's because of the photo mode.
I think so,
So you can take
mainly.
photos with
Yeah.
them instead of being eaten by them.
Yes, they in the video they show the characters posing with them, which I think is great. Like, if you just want to walk up to the really gross looking kind of like pale looking guy with the nose and take a photo with him, why not? There you go.
And then, can you just do that for the whole game though and make it like a really easy mode?
Yeah, so they're saying that you can move at your own pace and enjoy the
Okay.
new relaxed mode where creatures won't attack you unless you attack them, or kick things up a notch in fiery fierce mode. So they can
Okay.
be changed when selecting a new game or at any point in the game setting. So if you do want more of a challenge because you're crazy like that, you can do that.
Well, that makes me want it more. I love an easy game. So I
Yeah.
put it on the lazy mode rather than the fierce mode. I don't want more challenge. I want no challenge. I just want to
Yes.
wander through my game.
Yes. Now, looking up news about Switch 2 edition of Pikmin 4, the only news I can find about it is that people were speculating there would be one back in July. So I think it's safe to say they didn't announce it and we're not forgetting about it. So that's
Okay.
very interesting. I don't know why not?
Probably later.
I guess so.
Wasn't ready yet.
Yeah. And then the final additional thing, which is also very cute and fun, is they're adding decor Pikmin, which are from Pikmin Bloom, which we both played some of, and we would send each other postcards, remember?
Yeah.
So you can get a Pikmin with a donut on his head, a Pikmin that maybe has some ice cream. I only am thinking of food examples for some reason. I don't know.
That's
I guess
okay.
they have different flower ones. What I don't know, I'm reading the bullet point rundown about it. They don't say how they're appearing in Pikmin 4. They do say that you can transfer the decor Pikmin you get in Pikmin 4 to Pikmin Bloom, but it's not the other way around, it sounds like. So I'm not sure how they're being added. Are they just going to be randomly like out in the world, or you
Maybe.
got to collect them some special way? Don't know. We shall see. But suffice it to say, this update has got me hyped to pick up Pikmin 4. I'm like, I gotta get it now. I thought I had it, but I don't, so now we need it. A game that maybe, well, we both have it, but maybe I'm not any more excited to play again because of the news is the Animal Crossing's New Horizons Switch 2 edition update and the new free content. That's coming in January. They just released a 12-minute trailer about this today, the day we're recording it, this podcast, October 30th. And the Switch 2 edition, you can buy a package version just as is if you never bought Animal Crossing New Horizons, or you can pay $5 to upgrade your Switch 1 edition to the Switch 2 edition if you want. And then you're getting that 4K resolution and a whole bunch of new features like the microphone, so you can yell at your you can yell at your island friends.
They said it was 4K.
Yeah.
They just said it on the trailer. I think it was just like improved graphics.
I think it said 4K, and then in a little text that said, you know, your TV has to support 4K.
Okay.
Yeah, it says 4K in TV mode.
I got
so, it. So, why are you hyped now?
No, I don't care.
We don't even have a 4K TV.
No, we don't.
Yeah,
no, we
so, don't. Yeah, so we got that improved resolution. You've got that megaphone item where you can yell at residents and call them over or something. And the mouse controls, which, you know, granted, that's kind of nice. So
it's only in the one mode, though.
Yeah, decorating. So when you're decorating indoors. And the custom pixel.
Yeah, that's graphic. That's the best use of it.
Yeah, that seems like it would be handy. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it nice back when it was on DS and 3DS where you could draw on the screen? That was really nice. So kind of emulate that in a way.
Yeah, kind of.
And then you get those 12-player online sessions.
I don't know 12 players.
Me neither. You and me are the only players I know. you need 12 friends for that. And then to make things weird, you can connect with camera play and have your face above your villager, because why not? And so you can see each other's faces above the cute little avatars you have. You can ruin it by having mm-hmm. your ugly mug above them with mm-hmm. the bad camera. So so that's the Nintendo Switch 2 version. Then we've got the free update. What do you remember of that, Marcus?
From the free update?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. I remember that there's a hotel now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff to do with the hotel.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you can get special items if you do stuff with the hotel. Because
mm-hmm.
they have special things that you can't get anywhere else, apparently. And then there's, like, a weird happy home designer moment in this hotel.
Yeah.
Because you can customize the hotel rooms based on a theme that they give you. So you can just play around with that. And I guess you can, you know, you can visit them whenever you want, but they're not your rooms. They're the hotel rooms. Let's see. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there's a weird dream world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the dream world, you can create new islands.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only islands you visit in the dream world, so it's not like changing your island. I don't know why. I guess because people like to make different islands, probably. And I don't know how many saves you can have on regular Animal Crossing.
I think.
Just one? Well, on the video, it seemed like they said you could make three dream islands.
The three dream islands, yeah.
So, you know, if you are someone who really likes to play with an island, now you can make three more, I guess. I guess that's what it's for. And then let's see. Obviously, I think the big news for a lot of people is the collabs that they announced. They announced two. One with Lego. And so you can get a bunch of Lego decor for your house, and I think that's fun. I like Lego, and I like the colorful couch and wall and all the stuff that they were showing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cute. A good collab. And then they also collabed with themselves, as in Nintendo, because they're doing Legend of Zelda stuff and also Splatoon stuff in the game. More Zelda stuff, it seems. But I think that's fine. I just think it's weird that, I mean, is it a collab? You could have had it there to begin with. You're Nintendo. You could do whatever you want, really.
Yeah.
With your properties. It's not a collab, so to speak. You could have always had Zelda stuff in the game.
Yeah, so
and they have before, like they had the Triforce in an older Animal Crossing game.
Yeah.
Like as decor, so I don't know. But it looks like good stuff, especially considering it's free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to complain about free. And that it works on both Switch 1 and Switch 2. That's nice. You know, they could have just said, no, it's only on Switch 2. And then people would grumble and then buy the upgrade pack. I don't know what else there was. I probably missed things.
Oh, that's most of it. The only one that you missed was Resetti's new
reset service
where he can help tidy up your island. I guess if you want to, like, clean up your front yard and redo it or something.
Yeah.
They have upgraded home storage. You can hold up to 9,000 items, as well as trees, shrubs, and flowers. And I feel like this, I mean, I could totally be mistaken, but they showed crafting like multiple items at once, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't in the game yet. You had to craft one thing at a time, and now it's like, if you want to do, you know, three baskets at once, I'm just making up something, you know, you can do three at once instead of crafting one, being like, okay, you're done, and doing the little pose and then doing it again. So I believe that's new.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute for free update. I'm glad that it's free, because I could have easily seen them charging for it for the new content that's there. I mean, maybe they didn't charge because it's so many years after the game came out.
It's going to be 6 years, right? It comes out in January. So that's a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And then it's all at once. Like, I don't know what happened there. It's like all this had to come out at once, or just, I don't know. Anyway, it does make me want to play it a little.
Oh.
Just because it reminds me of my tendencies to, in previous Animal Crossings, just collect everything humanly possible.
Oh, dear.
I never really got to that with this new one. For whatever reason, it just didn't hit me the same way. But that is what I used to like to do with Animal Crossing. And it makes me want to, because I'm like, oh, now there's special hotel items, too. And they're like Nintendo stuff, and I want that. I want my own collection in my game. Oh, that reminds me, the thing about that is if you get like a console, you can play one game from the console in Animal Crossing, but only if you have the Nintendo subscription.
Yep.
And I'm like, I wonder why. Is it pulling from the subscription library?
Oh, maybe.
Anyway, so you can get that only if you're a subscriber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it makes me want to play a little.
Yeah, we could play.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to buy the Switch 2 upgrade.
No.
Except for maybe the improved resolution, but again,
it's fine. It looks fine.
It looks fine. It's cute. I'm fine.
I mean, when they showed the comparison, it was really drastic. Oh, but my also, gosh, yeah. You're not normally looking at the characters that close up.
Yeah, I was real zoomed in. But yeah, if you're curious, you can watch the video, and they do show what supposedly is a real comparison. I'm sure it is.
No,
but
it is.
It's like
it's
fully zoomed in, and I don't remember the game looking like that at all. Yeah, and you could play it in Japanese. We're kind of Japanese.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, see?
That's why I have to play it.
Okay. Well, that one we do own. Actually, we own two copies of it because I had a copy and you have a copy. So we're all set.
Yay.
Sell one of them and get Pikmin.
Okay.
Why do we need two copies? Oh, maybe because of both of our islands. I guess we gotta keep them both. Or I'll create a dream island. Well, anyway, so that's it for the news that we're going to talk about today. But a good segue into talking about things we've been watching and playing is you have been playing a game in Japanese a little bit. A teeny bit.
A teeny bit, yes. I've been playing Pokemon Sword and Shield, or Shield specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your copy because I never actually got it. You know, I haven't played Pokemon seriously in a while, but when we were looking for stuff and you were saying, I don't know why we decided to actually put this one in. Maybe because the new game came out?
Oh, yeah, I guess it was on my mind because of Z to A coming out, and I'm not really in the mood to pick that one up. But also, we were talking about games that could be played in, sorry, in all hiragana, and I was trying to look at guides about this, and then people say, you know, all SNES games have hiragana only in Japanese, which is not true. Maybe that's not exactly what they were saying, but I swear we looked at some quote unquote guides about this and then tried the recommendation and then found out that they weren't all hiragana like they said. So I was like, I'm pretty sure that at least the early Pokemon games you could play completely in hiragana, like the Game Boy ones. And I don't have any of those in Japanese. So I remembered that the more recent ones, you don't actually even have to have a Japanese version of the game, like import the Japanese copy. I believe from the 3DS version, like Sun and Moon, somewhere around there, they started offering multiple languages on the cartridge or on the disc. I guess Nintendo was all cartridges, but they started offering it. So even the English version that you buy or the Aussie version, which was what I was buying at the time, you put it in your system and it will right off the bat ask you what language you want to play in. And then it'll have, you know, English and Spanish and French, but also Japanese and Chinese and probably Korean as well. So I thought, well, why don't we try it on one of the recent games I have? And Sword and Shield, or Shield, is the most recent Pokemon game I've bought. So whipped that up, checked it out. And lo and behold, not only do they have just regular Japanese where you're getting some kanji in it, but you can select the full hiragana mode. So it has two Japanese modes, basically, like the kiddie mode and the more adult mode with kanji in it. So we pick the full hiragana mode and you're playing that, which is really handy.
Yes, even though I'm the slowest reader ever, so we've barely gotten anywhere in the game. We haven't even really played it yet. Still intro cutscenes, but I am reading it, so that's fun. Getting a little taste of it.
And it's good practice. One thing I will say that's unfortunate is at least some of the dialogue where it's trying to be like cutscene-y, they don't stop. Like the lines won't stop. And it's not every line, it's just like when they want to like emphasize something and they want to make sure that the text on screen is maybe like matched with what the character is moving as they're animating or whatever. So there have been some lines where you haven't gotten a chance to read them because they disappear too fast. But in general, dialogue and everything, it's fine. So that's good. Yeah, so that's fun. So, and then in addition to that, you could also play Animal Crossing. Now, Animal Crossing does have kanji, but I believe it's all furigana on it, so you would be able to read it.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
works. As long as there's furigana, I'm okay.
There you go. In addition to that, you started playing Silent Hill 2 for the second time.
Silent Hill
No,
F.
Silent Hill F again, the second time. That's why I got confused.
Yes.
There's a 2 in there.
Yes. Yes, my second playthrough of the game, because I was very curious to see, how the other endings, what they are, and how the game plays out on subsequent playthroughs. Curious to know how much is different versus how much is the same, and if it's really worth it. I just want to know. And I do enjoy the game, so I felt like it was fine to play it again. So far, there haven't been all that many changes, at least nothing very major. But you've seen like there's differences in the cutscenes, in some of the cutscenes, differences in some of the letters which you pick up, or there's new letters now, I think, that weren't there before. We saw like one kind of new little area or part of an area. But not a lot of that yet either. And I already did like what the first major boss fight. If that gives context to where I am in the game and what I've seen is not that different yet. But I'm curious to see how it proceeds. I would like to believe that it will get a little bit more different as we get nearer towards the end. So curious. And I also like that since I did not change the battle difficulty level, I am having a much easier time fighting enemies this time since I'm all leveled up. You know, they're much weaker than me now, or I've got tons of health and everything, so it's not as much of a problem to deal with the boss fights, anything like that. And obviously, since I played it before, I also have an idea of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I don't keep pressing the wrong buttons.
Oh, so yeah, true.
That also helps, but it's fun. I like it. I like it easy. So I could just kind of breeze through and play the game, and we'll see how it goes as we continue. It's starting to shift a little more in the story a little bit, but I want to see it through. I want to see this ending. I ideally would like to get all the major endings. I don't care about the UFO ending, though.
Yeah, I can just watch that one.
Yeah.
Actually, so we have been following guides. I think I mentioned this in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I am kind of looking at it and giving you tips as you play. And you, as you mentioned, played up through the first major boss. And basically, you could have already gotten the UFO ending.
Yeah.
You can't get the UFO ending on the first playthrough, but it would have been possible to get it relatively easily as like a cute little side thing to do. So there's that. You could get it and then just have a save and then reload the save and not do that ending. But since it's that easy, I feel like why not just watch it, somebody else's ending?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if I play it again, I guess I could do that now that I know. I didn't realize that it was going to be that
easy. Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah. I didn't realize it was going to be so easy either.
Yeah. One thing I will mention, though, since it's a subsequent playthrough and everything. So when you beat the game, it adds something on the menu where you can see which endings you've gotten. And it'll also tell you, like, the criteria to achieve the other endings in, like, a bullet-pointed list, which is very handy. However, I still don't know that you would be able to get these endings easily without following a guide. Because for me, you know, it's like you got to do this thing. You got to get this object, and you have to find these different things in order to do that. Like, I just found the second one or whatever of it.
Yeah, I don't think that was clearly signposted, like, the thing that you're finding in order to get that ending. It's not, like, super obvious.
No, I think it would be very easy to miss because it's based on your picking up letters.
Right.
And your knowing where to look to put whatever thing with. Anyway, the point being, I think that, I don't know, unless you're a really astute gamer, I think it'd be very easy to get frustrated because you see these little bullet points on the menu that tell you what you need to do. And it tells you the broad strokes, but it doesn't tell you the detail.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be very easy to not do it. And not realize you haven't done it because, you know, like, you'd be like, well, when do I get this point, or where do I get this object?
You could go, you know, until it's too late.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're all in the town, I guess you could walk all the way back, but you really wouldn't want to, you know, if you missed the first one. So I think that is probably a detriment for some folks to know that you're going to probably want to review a guide at least a little bit to make sure you don't miss this stuff if you're trying to go for different endings. Granted, you know, getting different Silent Hill endings has often been something where you want to use a guide because it's like things that are not obvious. Like, oh, don't look at this letter or don't look at this knife or do. And it's like, well, I don't know. I look at everything, right? Because I play video games and it's like, well, oops, shouldn't have done it. So I would say the series has always been kind of like that. I feel like this, though, is especially if it's, you know, because it's Silent Hill F and it's different than other Silent Hills, that it might be capturing an audience of people who have never even played Silent Hill before. So you just need to, you know, be prepared for that. If you're not aware, you know, to get those endings, you're going to probably look at a guide. What the game tells you, I don't think is sufficient.
Yeah, even though it's handy.
It is helpful.
Like, oh, hey, you should do these things.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Quite enough. to just get it on your own.
I don't think so.
And it's fun so far to see the little differences, but I do feel like it's a big ask to ask people, you know, okay, play through this 9-hour game again, and maybe do it three times. And even if it's quicker for you the subsequent times, it's like, you know, we're still kind of in the stages of like, how much really is going to be different? How much are we going to learn about the story? I've read kind of conflicting information where some people are like, you got to get all the endings, you got to see the full thing because you're not getting the full story otherwise. But I can also understand not wanting to do that because it's not like, I think we were in Capsule J's stream the other day and he was wondering if it was going to be like a Nier Automata situation where you get a significantly different game on subsequent playthroughs. And so far, I would say no, you don't. You get a little bit of differences here and there and it might increase differences. And I'm interested to see what happens and I'm interested by the intriguing changes that have happened. Like just very recently something happened where we're both like, didn't that kind of happen way later in the first playthrough? Mm-hmm. And like, oh, what is the implication by this happening now? And that's cool. But then it's like, okay, how many more hours are you going to play until we get a little tidbit of something, you know? So I'm not sure. Like, how, what will it feel like it was worth the effort?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just how I'm going through it now, I feel like probably we'll beat the game in like 5 hours. It won't be like 10 hours.
Yeah, true. You're much faster now.
Yeah. I would like if it were like Nier Automata, based on what I know of that game, having never played it. I am very doubtful because almost no game is like that.
Yeah, I've never played any other game that's that different. Mm-hmm. And even that one, like, I think my memory is a little bit hazy, but that one, too, was like, I believe it's been so long, I think I can kind of spoil it. I believe that the second playthrough, I don't even know if you start off, I think it starts the same and then you switch to the other character. And so you're playing as a different character, but you're still playing through the same story. At a certain point, it becomes a different story. You get more, and it's completely different. It's not like you're playing through to the same ending or even like the same story beats the whole way. So that part I remember the most, and that was really cool. But I still feel like there was a bit of a hurdle where I'm like, why am I playing the same game again? And then eventually it got cool, you know? So maybe this is doing that too. It's like, I've heard that there are different bosses, you know, new things like that, new areas. So if there's like a lot of new stuff in like the second half of the first playthrough, then, or sorry, second playthrough, then, you know, maybe I'll be like, oh yeah, you really got to play it. But right now I'm like, it's cool, but I don't know how much it's going to feel essential, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm enjoying watching you play. I don't have to do anything except for read you the guide. Yeah. So good. You'll continue with that. And just for a fun little excursion, I picked up the American Idol Game Boy Advance game, which I think it's okay to say that, you know, we downloaded for an emulator. And why did I play this? Because it looked funny?
I honestly don't even know.
It was just like a total whim. I was like, you know, why not? And then as I was playing it, it's a bit different from, it was just a rhythm game, but it had the added stuff of American Idol where you're being judged on your, like, whole person character. So you could create an avatar, and there was a surprising number of options for a Game Boy Advance game. Like, you would pick their hair and their clothes and their face and all that stuff. And it was like a little 3D polygonal, rudimentary polygonal character, like a male or female character. And then you're singing the songs of them, I mean, in the game. And it's got some surprisingly, like, good songs in it. It's got, like, A Virgin, Living La Vida Loca. There was some Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
Bye 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 was in there.
Other
famous things.
There's, like, 15 songs.
Yeah. Which is a lot. And they were fully voiced, like, sung. Except for that was at the detriment of the music itself.
Yeah, there's not really much music, but there is full singing, full voice.
Full voice, I believe, like a male or female voice, based on whether you pick a male or female character. And the funniest part, which I only learned after granted, was that your point? So you're playing a rhythm game, and it's like the Britney's
Britney's
Dance
Dance
Group.
Beat. It's basically the same thing as Britney's
Yeah,
Dance
if
Beat.
you're very familiar with Britney's Dance Beat and how that one plays, it's the same as that, but it's just like a circle on screen, and the buttons are kind of rotating around the circle, and you have to push. It's like A or B or A or B to A and B together at the right time, and that's it. So it's not super hard or anything, but I was like listening to the really kind of poor renditions of these songs and getting a kick out of that. And then when you screw up, it actually like had some weird voice effects to the
Yeah, it
audio.
modulates the voice up and down.
Yeah, so I would give an example, but I'm too shy
That's okay.
to.
It just sounds warbly.
Yeah, it's like all warbly, but at first I thought it was just how they recorded it, and I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious but weird. And then afterwards we watched a little recap of the game, and it turns out that that is intentional. Like when you do poorly, they purposefully add that distortion to the song. But even without that, the singing is just wild. It's like they got someone on the dev team to do some karaoke for them
Yeah.
and do these
At least for the
covers.
male voice, I guess we don't know if the lady's better.
Yeah, maybe she's better. But I picked a male character, so I got the male voices. And it was so funny because every time, I finish a song and you get the three judges, and they'd be like, that was amazing. You're going to go so far. I'm like, really? Am I with that singing? If that's how it is, that's all it takes, and I Anne could be, the next American's idol. So with that, it's really fun. If you want a good laugh, I recommend checking it out. I did the like main mode, which is like the competition mode, and then funked out after a while. But then you get a password so you can get back into that spot. And one thing that was interesting is it's not set songs. You actually pick between two different songs, which one you want to perform. And then after you do your little dance, which again, it has this 3D model dancing on screen, which seems quite high tech for a Game Boy Advance game. Then at the end, they have this really poor quality, in contrast to the really nice dancing, they got a poor quality version of the three judges from American Idol giving you commentary, and then you advance to the next air stage, and they judge you on your outfits and like your look, and I have absolutely no idea what they want because I could never get them to like my outfits or my hair or anything. I would change it every time, and they never liked any of it. So who knows? I just have bad fashion sense, or they hate men. Maybe the women they judge easier.
I don't know.
Anyway, a recommendation from me, American Idol for Game Boy Advance.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. It'll give you a good laugh for an afternoon. Okay, and for movies, we've been continuing the horror fest, Vinegar Syndrome. Vinegar Syndrome Horror Fest, as we've been going through October. We have four films we watched since we last recorded. The first actually was not Vinegar
No.
Syndrome. First and only non-Vinegar Syndrome film was the classic Attack of the Killer Shrews, which I've always wanted to see because my dad would tell the story about how he saw it in theaters and he thought it was really funny because all the giant shrews were just dogs with sheepskins thrown over them. And I was like, okay, Dad, all right, whatever you say. And then we watched it, and it really was that. It really was. They were just dogs. And that was really funny. But it was an amusing film, an interesting premise of this guy who goes to an island to like deliver supplies for this
Yes.
weird scientist. Man and his daughter and their helpers that are all living on this secluded island, and then him and his helper get stranded overnight because of a storm that rolls in, and it turns out they've been experimenting on shrews, and they've got a mutant shrew population on the island, and they're pretty nasty little shrews, and they attack everyone. I think this was interesting because I was thinking, like, oh, this is so low budget and poor quality, like, horror effects and things. But then you compare it to other stuff like that Universal was doing, like Universal Horror Films, and they like had good quality films that were done way before this was made. So I think it really was just a low budget film. And they were like, we can maybe scare somebody by throwing a sheepskin on a dog.
Yeah, I think that I don't remember much about the movie, but I remember, like, I guess the climax of how they escape, and I thought it was very funny or humorous.
Would you like to share? I don't think
Sure.
anyone will mind.
Yeah, they like get in these metal drums and slow crab walk away, basically.
Was something else. They like tie them all together and cut little holes for their eyes. And then there are all these shots of the shrew dogs trying to bite their ankles. Yeah. And then there was one guy that was like just a jerk for no reason,
Yeah.
really. I don't know why he was such a jerk about everything. But he wanted to maybe marry the daughter of the scientist who was named Anne or Anna. I think it might have
Yeah.
been Anne. And she didn't like him, and I guess he was mad about that. And then the hot, sailor man comes onto the island and she's immediately into him, and then he's jealous, and he actually tries to murder the man like two or three different times. Doesn't do that, and then he's butthurt about it. So he's like, I'm not coming with you and your dumb drum escape plan. I'm gonna stay here at the house that's being overrun by giant shrews. And then he has a little showdown with the shrews but dies. So he was silly. The
It was
end. Yeah,
fun.
it was fun. I think it was a good, fun, campy film. I enjoyed it. And it was fun to think about my dad watching this in the theater in the 50s. Okay, then now we have all of our vinegar syndrome picks. So I'm just going to rattle them off, first of all, and then we'll talk about the ones we have things to say about, which I don't know. It's not all of them. And funnily enough, all three of the films we watched this time all had two names or more each. So, firstly, we had Hellmaster or Them, then The Lamp or The Outing, and finally, Satan's Blood, which was a Spanish film, and the Spanish name, which hopefully I don't butcher too poorly, is Escolofrío. And which one would you like to talk about?
Well, I don't remember Hellmaster or them at all until you showed me a picture and I'm like, oh yeah, that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But I really don't remember much at all about that one, so I'm not gonna talk about it. The Lamp slash The Outing, that was kind of fun, I guess. It was like a movie about a genie in a lamp, but the genie is bad and he gets out. And then for some reason, it all ties into like these teenagers who are spending the night in a museum secretly. And I think I like the idea. It's a little bit different. I like an evil genie versus like, just a psychopathic killer or
Do we know
whatever.
why the genie's evil?
Because genies are evil.
Oh,
At least in
okay. In the war.
this movie.
Yeah, because they talk about jinns, right? And
Yes,
how
and they're like
jinns
they're
are.
bad actually.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he's evil.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun just because it was different. You don't normally have a museum setting for a horror movie.
True.
I think the cast had fun clothes, nice fashions, late 80s fashions. So I enjoyed that. But I think the movie itself wasn't amazing or anything. We're not gonna keep it. So it was fine. That's all though.
Yeah, I liked the museum theme, and so actually, I do remember why they were in a museum. Is because the museum was like given the lamp for its
Oh,
collection,
yeah.
and the I don't know head guy at the museum his daughter is the one that's in high school, and she was like, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we all had a sleepover at the museum, because she thinks that would be a fun thing to do. I do like there were some references to the fact that her dad is like really good at his job and really smart, and he had an assistant, and they were both like really interested in like dating the lamp and reading the text on the lamp. I just thought that was a fun thing. I guess I just like nerds, you know. And randomly, there's this whole plot about her dad is dating her teacher, and so when they have a field trip to the museum, and then the kids end up staying after the field trip to spend the night, and the dad and the teacher are like trying to have some kisses, you know, in the back corner. But surprisingly wholesome relationship where she like wants to, you know, do the right thing about, you know, dating this her student's dad, but also wants to be friendly with her. And anyway, that was kind of a cute story. I think there was a really weird plot where the girl was dating a guy. She had broken up with a different guy 6 months prior, and he was so angry about it, he keeps trying to like kill her. And
Basically.
one of the first scenes in the film, after we get the like intro where it's introducing the genie, is her at school. He attacks her and her boyfriend right at the school, like pulls a knife on them. And then the teacher who's dating her dad, who I actually thought was a student because she looks really young, she just like comes at him with a, I don't know, a rod and smacks him in the balls, right? And they don't have any problem with teacher student violence at the school. The principal hauls him off and he gets expelled, but that was really cool. She like just beat the crap out of him, this teacher.
Yeah, that
But
was good.
then they f the this guy and his like little wacky friend hear that her and her friends are going to be at the museum, so they're going to ruin it, and they're going to the museum, and they're just like they want to kill everyone for what? Because she dumped him? It's
Don't know,
crazy,
honey.
man.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Yeah, so that was the lamp slash the outing. I guess the outing was staying at the museum
Yeah.
overnight. How was Satan's Blood, the Spanish film that we just watched last night?
Satan's Blood was all right. Definitely a sleaze fest in my
Oh yeah,
opinion.
oh yeah.
But it was all right. I think it was funny. Because of how little sense it kind of made. It's about a couple who is married with a child on the way, and they're just doing their thing, living their life. And then randomly, like people in the car next to them when they're driving keep looking at them. And so they're like, what's going on? Like, and then the people in the other car are like, say the husband's name, as in, you know, suggesting that they know them because they know his name. And so they pull over and start talking, and the man from the other car is like really putting it on, like, oh yeah, we went to school together and blah, blah, blah. And the husband's like, I don't remember anything. But for whatever reason, despite not remembering this man at all, they decide to go to their house with them.
Which turns out to be an hour drive away.
Yeah. And then once they're there, he's like, I still don't know who the fuck you are, basically. And then things just get weird because it's like the stranger couple is immediately like, hey, let's do Ouija. And then like all this weird stuff. And then it just gets weirder. There are Satanists. They all have this like sex ritual together. And then it just keeps being strange. And it doesn't really make sense. And it's one of those movies where, you know, how people always say, like, you know, when you're watching a horror movie, you're, you know, often people are like screaming at the TV, like, or the screen, like, get out of there, run away, or do all these things because the character is too stupid and won't do them. This movie, I think I was doing that, right?
Oh,
I was like, oh my God, leave.
Yeah, first of all, we would never go to some rando's house anyway. But when they get there are immediately all of these signs that they're weirdos, and it just keeps getting weirder and weirder. And there was even one point there where the guy's like, we're gonna leave. And then the guy whose house they're in is like, no, stay. And then they just stay. They don't go. I guess this implied that maybe they drink something that got them all drugged up, or they weren't in their right minds, because I don't think they would have done that sex orgy thing ritual if they were not high or something. But also, they never talk about that again, so maybe they don't even remember that they did that. And then they leave their poor dog out all night in the middle of a storm and don't seem to really care about it. And then they could have just driven away, but I guess you don't have GPS back then. But like, I would have driven anywhere, like just go to a nearby town or something. Just no.
Yeah, there's a lot of those moments where it's just like, why don't you go
Oh.
right now? Why are you doing this anyway? It was odd, but it was amusing too. So I'm not disappointed that I watched it.
Yeah.
I would be interested because on the disc from Vinegar Syndrome, they have an audio commentary with two film historians. So I kind of want to hear what they have to say, which would mean watching it again. So obviously I didn't hate it, but it is an odd one and
Yep.
not the highest quality for sure. But it was fun. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I agree. It has some interesting stuff going on, and I am curious to see what other people have to say about it. So I guess we'll watch that. Okay, and with that, I think we've come to the end of another episode of Pixel Pixel. Just a little life update that we will be headed to Japan in November. You excited? Yes. 2 weeks in Japan for our honeymoon. And I think we will be able to get up the next episode before we head out, but we're a little unsure whether we'll record while we're there or not. We're not making any promises, so we may be a little bit late on the next episode, but we will certainly continue with some kind of a schedule. So maybe the episode after next will have all the Japan travel news to share, and it'll be an extra juicy one. We shall see. Thank you all so much for listening, and we shall see you again in 2 weeks.